Chapter 8, On Broadway. At the beginning of March, I received a phone call from the editor of the travel magazine. "Congratulations, Antonio," she said. "Your article on New York City at Christmas is one of the most successful articles we've ever had in the magazine." "Really?" I answered, very happy. "Yes, we've received lots of emails from our readers telling us how much they liked it," she continued. "Many of them said that it made them want to fly to New York immediately." "Wow!" I exclaimed. "I'd like to offer you a permanent position on our team of writers," she said. "Are you interested?" "Of course I am," I answered. I travelled a lot for the magazine during the next few months and published at least one article for each of their monthly issues. I emailed Elaine and Jason constantly, telling them about my adventures. They always replied quickly and gave me news about what was happening with them. In early June, I went to Almeria to write an article on Cabo de Gata. As usual, I checked my emails when I arrived at my hotel room and saw that I had received one from Jason marked urgent. In it, he asked me to call him at home as soon as possible. Worried, I called him immediately. "Jason, it's Antonio," I said when he answered. "What's wrong? Has something terrible happened?" "No, something wonderful has happened," he replied. "I'm sorry if I worried you, but I wanted you to know the good news right away." "What is it?" I asked. "I'm in a Broadway show," Jason said. "The Lion King." "Congratulations," I exclaimed. "That's incredible. When did you get the job?" "The producer called me yesterday to offer me the part," he said. "It's an insignificant part, but still." Jason explained that he'd gone to some open auditions for the show. "I don't understand," I said. "Why do they still have auditions? The show has been going on for years." "Equity, the Professional Actors Union, has an agreement with the Broadway Producers Association that their shows must have open auditions every 6 months, even if they don't need anybody," Jason explained. "Hundreds of actors go to these auditions because everyone is desperate for a job. I guess that I was lucky, because the chances of getting a job from these auditions are usually very small." "Who do you play in the show?" I asked. "Well, don't laugh. But I'm a stampeding wildebeest," he answered. "It's great because I don't have any lines to learn, and I just have to run across the stage with the other animals. But I don't care, because it's a famous Broadway show, and it's a beginning." "That's great," I said. "I'm sure you'll be a great wildebeest." "So now you must come and visit during the summer," Jason said. "Come and watch me stampede." "I will," I replied. "I'm very busy at the magazine right now, but I promise that I'll visit you as soon as I can." When I had finished my article on Cabo de Gata, I proposed to my editor writing a second article on New York City. "This one will be different," I explained. "It will be about the city in the summer." "I like that idea," my editor replied. "Let's do it." I immediately emailed Jason and Elaine, told them the good news, and started to prepare for my new trip to New York. A little after 1 p.m. on the 7th of July, my plane landed at Kennedy Airport. When I walked into the arrivals lounge after getting my suitcase, I was very pleasantly surprised to see Elaine waiting for me. "I hope you're not too tired," she said after hugging me warmly, "because we're going to see The Lion King tonight." "Tonight?" I asked, confused. "Yes, Jason is stampeding tonight," Elaine explained. "He says he's the best wildebeest in the scene. I'm here to welcome you and to give you the keys to his flat because he's rehearsing at the theatre right now. He's reserved 2 free tickets for us for tonight's show." Elaine and I talked and laughed continuously during the bus trip into the city. It was great to see her again. The bus station was very close to Jason's flat, so we walked the rest of the way. "Are you hungry?" Elaine asked me as we stood in front of Jason's building. "I'm not hungry right now," I answered, "but I'm sure that I will be soon." "Then let's meet at 6 this evening," she suggested. "The show doesn't start until 8, so we'll have enough time to have a light dinner before the theatre." "That sounds perfect," I said. I slept for a short time on the sofa when I got into Jason's flat, because I didn't want to fall asleep during the show. After that, I unpacked some of my things, showered, and put on some nice clothes. Elaine rang from the street as I was putting on my shoes. It was time to see a Broadway show. We had a delicious dinner in a small Japanese restaurant nearby, and then walked to the theatre, which was only 2 streets away from Jason's building. While we were getting our reserved tickets, I looked at a sign that had the ticket prices for the show. The least expensive tickets were $133, and the most expensive were $306. "Wow," I said. "Broadway shows are really expensive." "Yes, they are. Especially the most popular ones," Elaine agreed. "It's a good thing that we know someone in the show who can give us free tickets. How can people who aren't rich go to such expensive shows?" I asked. "Well, there's a place in the middle of Times Square that sells half-price theatre tickets," Elaine explained. "However, they only sell tickets for that night's performance and only for shows that aren't completely full. There's usually an enormous line to buy tickets there, but at least it's less expensive." We walked to our seats and waited excitedly for the show to begin. Then the lights went down and the show began. Everything about it was spectacular. The music, the special effects, the animals, and the performers. I had never experienced anything like it before. It was so much better than the film. I now understood why Broadway was considered the mecca of theatre. When the time came for the stampede, we tried to guess which wildebeest was Jason. It was a great dramatic scene, and I felt so proud of my friend. He was living his dream, and I was lucky enough to be in the theatre to share it with him. When the show ended, Elaine and I were on a high. We went outside to the stage door at the back of the theatre and told the guard that we wanted to see our friend who was in the show. A minute later, Jason appeared. He was covered in sweat and still had his animal makeup on, but he looked very excited and happy. "Can I be the first person to ask for your autograph, Mr. Broadway star?" I asked, giving him my program. "Of course," he said, laughing. "Welcome back, Antonio. Why don't you two come with me to my dressing room and I'll give you a little tour backstage?" "Can we?" I asked. "Of course," Jason replied. "You're my guests." On the way to his dressing room, Jason took us onto the stage so that we could get an idea of what the actors saw when they were acting in the show. I looked out at the empty seats in the huge theatre and was filled with admiration for my friend and the other actors in the show. I would be scared to death to perform in front of almost 1,000 people. Then Jason introduced us to some of the actors. They were all very friendly. After Jason had taken off his makeup and changed his clothes, he, Elaine and I went to celebrate in a nearby bar that the actors frequented. We met more people from the show and had a lot of fun with them. It was a perfect way to spend the first night of my return to New York City.